known these folks for some time, and we're just happy to be here with you. Trust and pray that we'll be a blessing to you. I have wrestled with God as to what I might say to you folks. I think we'll save some things for Sunday. I think we're living in a day and age of apostasy within the church. And I say, when I say apostasy, instead of encouraging one another, we seem to have a spirit, and that's true of any place I go, a spirit of controversy everywhere. And we want to talk to you tonight about something that might be a comfort to your soul. I guarantee it will be. You've got something that there's a lot of people wish they had and don't have. And I think sometimes we get so tied up with the cares of the world that we forget what God has given us. I want to speak to you. I have been notified that I did not ever speak this message here. So if I did, one of you is going to have to let me know. I have a tough time. I know it's my fault. I never mark down what I speak. And so when I go back again, why, sometimes I repeat myself. So I'm going to speak on a subject out of the book of Job's desires. And I hope and pray that you'll be attentive to the word of God, not to me necessarily, but to be attentive to what God might have for you and for me. You're going to need this. If you don't need it now, you're going to need it. Well, you need it now, but you don't know that you need it. So before you need it, I hope that you realize that you do need it, and you'll get it tonight what you need. Okay? Did I say that right? Okay, all right. We live in a day of murmuring Christians. And I'm not going to berate anybody or belittle anyone here tonight, but I think that we are living in a day and age where we've got more than we've ever had, and we're blessed of God more than we've ever been blessed of God, and we're cared for better than we've ever been ever cared for. I mean, most of us, most of you sitting here, don't know what a depression is, and if you do, it's because you took advantage of your master, I mean MasterCard, I mean, and that's your own fault. But in reality, I don't see anybody here that looks underfed, except maybe this gentleman sitting here in the third row. He looks a little underfed. I watched him eat a steak last night, and we had to stop him before he swallowed the bone. I tell you, I never saw anybody put a steak away like that in all my life. But we're happy to be here with you folks tonight. We've had a good time here with the pastor and his wife, and we've been fellowshipping and having a good time. But I want to speak here on the book of Job. Now, I'm going to be going through the book of Job, so don't just turn to one place. And it's not going to be things perhaps that you have thinking I might be talking to you about. I notice over in the book of James, don't need to turn to it. Most of you know it in James chapter 5, where it speaks of the patience of Job. And I'm impressed when I read the book of Job, the patience this man had. And you say, well, he wasn't very patient in certain things. Well, before I get through with this message, maybe we'll hang our heads in shame. We start thinking about the life of Job, the patience of Job. It's hard to read the book of Job and see the patience of Job because of the complaining sometimes. So it's hard to read the book of Job as a devotional study. It's the oldest book in the Bible, or in the world, excuse me, and I don't care what the intellects say. In spite of scholarship, the unsaved man doesn't know where he's going or where he came from, so how would he know what God wrote in his book? Why should I listen to someone like that when you ask him, where's he going? We're living in a crazy world. I noticed a headline in the USA Today. Not today, but the USA Today. The other day. Headline said, a woman's sitting there, and I never met her, so I don't think I'm picking on anybody. She said, I gave my daughter back to God. What is it? Princess Philip, or what is it? Princess Diane, or whatever it is. The people's princess. Well, I want you to know she wasn't my princess, so just, you know, so we know where we're coming from. I'm not picking on. She said, mother said, I gave my daughter back to God. And I said to myself, honey, I wish you'd have given her back to God a long time ago, not at the death, because maybe God doesn't want her now. We got to be careful. We're bombarded with headlines, we're bombarded with TV, with that silly sentimentalism about this and about that, and Let me tell you something right here now. The only thing about that auto crash is this. If she's saved, she's in heaven. If she's not saved, she's in hell. So I don't think you ought to speak like that. Well, that's the reason I'm up here and you're not. And that's it. That's a serious matter. There's no sense in getting serious about the subject now. It's all over. Boy, if we could just have the money they're putting stupid flowers over there and send out the mission field and get some folks saved, it would be something, wouldn't it? Now, so you can see I haven't changed at all. I'm still the same old mean old rascal. I'm not really. I'm getting too old to be mean anymore. The book of Job is often, people have often said about the book of Job, why should the righteous suffer? Why should the righteous suffer? Why am I suffering? Well, I'm going to move on. Because a saved person suffers, it's not that God is mad at him. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read, just look at that thing for a minute. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Oh, can they say that about you? Can they say that about me? Well, I wish they could say that about me. One that feared God and hated evil, wasn't any part of evil, didn't want to touch evil. That's quite a statement about a man. Right off the bat, that ought to draw our attention to this individual here. I wish that could be said about me, that he was perfect, mature, grown up in the Lord, and upright. That he feared God. And I would like to take some time and have some word studies. I wonder what it does mean to fear God. I tell you something, we Bible-believing Christians, King James Bible-believing Christians, got some pretty shallow ideas of word meaning in the Scriptures. What does it mean to fear God? We're living in a day and age where we're talking about the grace of God. My friend, when you got saved, that was the grace of God. Now quit hammering on that. You can't get saved any more than you are saved. What we need to start talking about is the glory of Christ. And I noticed there was about 3 or 4 amens on that. Do you know what I'm talking about, the glory of Christ? We need to get excited about the fact that He's coming. Yes, are we going to rule and reign with Him, or are we going to be someplace else? So I never heard anything like that. You better read your Bible. We get this business of reading over Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, that God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So he's talking about the church. Are you sure about that? Is he talking about a place somewhere where Christians are going to be, maybe? And he's going to spew you out of your mouth. I'm talking about saved people. He says over there in the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he said the things that are happening to the children of Israel, all the difficulties that they're going through and the troubles that they're going through, he said very clearly, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for whose learning? Our learning. That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What do you talk about when you come to church? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. What do you talk about when you come to church? Do you know that God is only pleased when you and I talk about His beloved Son, talk about that great home that we're going to have by ruling and reigning? That's the only thing that pleases God in church. I don't know what was said prior to the church service tonight. I'd like to stop and say something to you. I'd like to just get a hold of some of you folks and say, what did somebody say to you to encourage you? To give you hope. It's getting quieter than a turkey farm on Thanksgiving afternoon in here. And I intend it to be that way. I want to say this to you, my dear friend, that the teaching that we need teaching and we need preaching on the glory of Christ. He's coming. He's going to rule and to reign. And somebody's going to rule with Him and somebody isn't. I'm talking about saved people. Let me ask you a question. When He comes and rules and reigns, where are you going to be? What does outer darkness mean in the Bible? Is He talking to the unsaved or the saved? I said, well, brother, I know I've been a Baptist long enough. I know what they mean by, do you? Do you? Do you really? What does it mean when He says, depart from me? I never knew you. I thought God was omniscient. I thought God knew everything. He says about some people, depart from me. They called him Lord. I like Judas who called him Master. They called him Lord. They had a knowledge of him that they recognized that he was Lord, a covenant creator. And when he comes up to face him, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. How much time have you spent in finding out where your eternal home is going to be and what you're going to be doing? Or have you just sat back and listened to Baptist doctrine over the years? I want to say something to you. Baptist doctrine has put Christians sound asleep. I'm not picking on Baptists. I'm just saying a lot of the things that you've heard become old to you and you don't think about them anymore. Let me tell you something right here and now, my dear friend. There is a day of separation coming between those who faithfully served God and loved God and encouraged others and those who just took Christianity as a grain of salt. Now, I'll preach on that Sunday. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I want you to come back. You think it's going to be a real nice Sunday, but it's going to be hot. I'm telling you something right here now, my dear people. The saddest day in the world is not for an unsaved man. The saddest day in the world is the judgment seat of Christ. The saddest, the most horrible day. The most weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that has ever been heard in all the universe according to the Word of God. Be that day when we stand in front of Jesus Christ and we're going to have to confess that we really never really knew him. We really never knew. You say, well, I know him. Well, you classify yourself better than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul preached for, I'll get to the message here in a minute. The Apostle Paul preached for 15 years or 16 years or so, and you know what his statement was in Philippians 3:10? That I may know him. He said, I preached for 16 years and I still don't know him. And I still don't know him. And I still want to know more about him. I'll tell you something right here now, my dear friends. We better wake up to the fact that we have just become, in many cases, I'm not talking about this church, but most places, God's church has become the Laodicean church. Amen. Cold, indifferent. It's my rights. You have offended me. And until you come along and apologize to me, you're no good. That's the Laodicean church, my friend. Let me clear something up for you. You have no rights except the right. And the one that created you is the genius of the universe. You must be to preach on the glory of Christ the last days of my life. On the glory of Christ. In that millennial reign. No, no, you're saved, going to heaven. Or something. So preacher, what do you say out of darkness is? Well, any place away from Christ is out of darkness. I never knew you. Saved? The difference between being saved and being a Christian. And hear the amens. A follower? Now you have the potential of following Christ. It's time. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if he would have taking me to heaven the day I got saved. Boy, if God would have taken me the moment that I got saved, if God would have taken me, that would have been the best I've ever done. Has been that way. Let me just try something here. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it to you again. You get to heaven, you're not going to hear anybody praise the Lord. That's the reason, you know, if you're not saved, you're not going to be happy in heaven. Amen. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Amen. As it was today. So get happy tonight. Get happy, bosses. I'm trying to encourage you. It isn't so bad. Well, you lie like the rest of us. God wants baskets and then buried 10 of your children. 3 years ago, some of the churches took collection for him. Guy plowed into him and spun him around, and he got out, and his wife got out, and he got one of the children out before the thing just blew to pieces. Job, his wife turned against him. Said, curse God and die. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have Job going? You know what that was? He never lost sight of where he was going to end. Liveth, and then he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms. You got one? Get discouraged. Job didn't have a Bible. Your wife tells us. You know what kind of fellowship he had with God? He says, in case my children have sinned, I'm. You got it, partner. He told her, my wife told her we were Bible believing and all that kind of business, and so on and so forth. And she said, well, I'll see if the kids like the Sunday school. My wife says, well, we'd love to have you and your husband. Oh, she said, it's not for me and my husband. We don't. The worst form, having a child and sending him to church. And my dad's 101. We just celebrated his birthday. He's still alive. That makes five generations of a good night. Time has a way of eroding your faith and my faith in God. Yet it's God. Could you or would you rather live without it? So, brother, I wouldn't want to live without it. You know how it gets down this morning. Look. Oh, tell me you love God. Guy says, well, I go out and worship God in nature. No, you can only on its own bottom, I see some pretty good-sized tubs. Job got caught in the middle of the greatest conflict ever known. You're safe, Dan Schmidt. We took the offering already. And God said, well, yeah, I know where he is. And the devil said, how he loves me? Well, sure, I know why he loves me. Devil said, ain't so. God says, 'tis so. Devil says, ain't so. God says, that's some God. Story, folks. There he is. How do you handle 10 open graves? You got one, haven't you? Everybody's got a book. Hold it up in the air. You got one. I did for 26 years. Or maybe the last breath you take. We're coming to the church here tonight. Boy, we saw a beautiful wreck. Trust you and me with that. I'm trying to encourage you. I wonder if God can trust us with what he gave to Job. Listen about that guy in the front row. He's got a jack of clubs in his Bible. Huh? I've heard stories around town, they're not so hot. Not especially, it's just a bunch of people. They're not going to get anything done. God says that, man, those suckers get hard, boy, by the time. I mean to tell you some things. Come on, get those shoulders back and that head up there. God's brought you through something. Nah. Did you see my servant Job? Yeah, I saw him. What do you think of him? And you know the story. I see Job on the dump screen. Listen, my friends. Mocking and laughing and somebody trouble. God's saying, I'll tell you one thing right here now. Of all the churches in Kansas City, that's one church I... Folks, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't know that there was a scripture said that there had... Now I'm going to move on here because some things that Job desired. Some things that Job desired. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I lift up. Of course he was. Do you know why he was full of confusion? He didn't have a Bible. And why am I confused? Why do we walk around as confused? Why? Well, my dear friend, look at verse 17. The confused God. What's going on, God? I want to know. And yet, my dear friend, he was faithful. Bible. Some of you are in good health. And then we're going to be going down, and I'll be in Brother Ruckman's, Peter Ruckman's blow. My wife was 39. And she had a pain. Healthy as any of us sitting here, maybe healthier. Man preaching the word of God. Great big lump. Lymph gland cancer. 39 years old, try to kill the thing. Did about 4 months of that. Couldn't get rid of the pain, so the doctor said, we're going to take you to the doctor because I want that shoulder right. Football season's opening up. You know what he told me? If I didn't have that book, I wouldn't have made it. I'd go in and see that. Whenever I'd go down there, we made spot. One by one, they'd come in to see him. That young man has won the whole football team to Christ. It took him a long time to get his strength back. Comes to verse 36, we kind of get scared, don't we? It's like, maybe me. I said, I need to put you someplace. Or somebody needs to. Or led a sheep to the slaughter. Shed all curl up, some kind of cerebral palsy or something like that. Not cerebral palsy, but something anyhow not to eat with him. Got saved. little finger was crooked. He just couldn't get it straightened out. He said, I used to wonder, why did God heal me and leave this finger crooked? And then it just dawned on me. God told him one night, he said, I just left enough to let you know where you came from.
Amen.
I just want you to know where you came from. He said he used to visit in Alabama in the mental wards, and he said it was a woman he found in one of those mental institutions. He said she'd been there for 4 or 5 years. He said, man, that woman was as sane as I was. He said, I find out that that's what she was. I'd go in there and just talk to her and encourage her. I thought I'd be a blessing to her. Her family put her in there because they didn't want to know what else to do with her, so they didn't want to take care of her, so they just put her in a mental institution. And Bill Mayer says, I said to that woman, he said one time, now listen to this, people. Listen to this. I don't know if this grabbed you or not, but sure grabs me. He said, that woman, how in the world do you stand in this place? There's screaming and hollering going on here, and these people are insane. How in the world do you stand this place? She says, oh, it's nothing. She says, you know what? I've been here 5 years, and I've led 2 nurses to Jesus Christ. Ooh. Don't tell me about your soul winning, my friend. I'll tell you some stories. After 40-some years of preaching, it'll just curl your hair and make us ashamed of our what we call soul winning and our sacrifice for God. I'm telling you something. I look at this place here, and I'm amazed at what God has done for this place. I am overwhelmed. God will always have his witness, regardless of what anybody else says. He said, think it not strange when these things come on you, he said. You got a book? He said, that book will tell you why. God never lost a sheep. He counts them. He says so in the book. Job didn't have a Bible, yet he stayed faithful. Turn me to Job chapter 9. I'll tell you something else that Job desired. Now, I get through. What time am I supposed to be through? All right. I'll get through here in time. Job chapter. I tell you, I love this thing. Because I'm just like you. I get down in the dumps sometimes too. And I get reading this thing and I say, man, Job didn't have a book. And you got one. You jerk, Sabaka. God ought to kill you. And God says, no, I won't kill you, because if I kill you, you'd go to heaven and you'd be happy. I'll just leave you here and be miserable, you bum. Look at Job chapter 9. It's something else that Job desired. I could go on all day long on this thing, and I won't. Job chapter 9, look at verse 32. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come, speaking of God, we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon both of us. You know what Job said? I desired somebody that could stand between me and God. You know why he said that? He didn't have a book. You got a book. What does that book tell you? There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Come on now, get some steel in your backbone. Quit wiggling around like a worm. Job didn't have a book, and he said, boy, if I could just have somebody that stood between God and me, he said, I wish that somebody would speak for me. I've got somebody. His name is Jesus. But Job didn't have a book. He didn't know that. You do. I'll finish up this message. There'll be no room for anybody here in this place to complain about anything. And if you do, you take it up with God. Because you got a book. If I just had someone who knew God and knew me. If I just knew somebody that knew God and knew me. He did, but he didn't know that. Because he didn't have a book. Folks, we haven't got sense enough to breathe. That's why we need a kinsman redeemer. That's why we need someone. We haven't got sense enough to breathe. That's why God put involuntary muscles in our body. We don't have sense enough to breathe. God put those involuntary muscles because you and I are so dumb. When we'd said inhale, we'd exhale. We got involuntary muscles. That God put involuntary muscles in our body so that it would make us breathe, because we're so dumb, we don't know how to breathe. So I never thought about that. Well, think about that for about 100 years. It'll help you. He desired a daysman. He desired somebody who stood between he and God. It's amazing how lightly we take this one. call our interceding high priest, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And if it wasn't for him, you'd be in a mess of trouble. Amen. It's amazing. You see, I've got a book that tells me I got somebody. His name is Jesus. And that doesn't ring your bell, there's something wrong with your starter. Turn me to Job chapter 6. I'm going to move along fast now. I'm going to be done here in the next hour or so. Job chapter 6. No, I'm just kidding. Don't leave. Just I'll be through here. Job chapter 6. Look at verse 21. For now ye are nothing. You see, my casting down are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Job desired that his infirmities be taken into consideration. But he didn't have a book. He didn't know. You and I feel sometimes that God doesn't understand you. Jeremiah 17:9. He does. He's the only one who does. He knows that your heart is deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked. Job didn't have a book. I'm privileged above Job. I got a book. I took a look in the old black book, and it thrilled me through and through. If you've been saved and born again, bound to thrill you too. I was reading along about going home. Found to my surprise, I'm already there in Jesus. I'm living on the other side. Amen. This old book told me that. Blessed book. Hallelujah. This book tells me that I got a God that knows every one of my infirmities. Knows exactly what I'm going through. Because his beloved son experienced it all. If you're not saved here tonight, I'm talking about somebody that's real. I'm not talking about some fairy tale tonight. This is real. It became real to me. A roughneck at the age of 26, it became so real to me that I sold out everything. And I've been preaching ever since. Boy, I'm privileged above Job. You are too. I'm glad I have a high priest that nothing surprised. He's never surprised. He's been through it all. Tell you something else Job desired. Turn to Job 13. Job 13. Look at verse 1. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty. I desire to reason with God. He said, I just wish I could have a personal audience with God. Now I'm going to tread on some toes. I wish I had a personal audience with Almighty God. If I could just talk, listen to me. If I could just talk face to face with God, he said everything would be all right. How many times he prayed and it seemed like the heavens were brass. You know why? He didn't have a book to tell him that God hears everything. I've got a book that tells me, Ephesians chapter 3, I can come boldly, Hebrews chapter 4. God knew about every sore and every pain and everything that Job was experiencing. But Job didn't know that because he didn't have a book. I got a book. You answer for yourself if you've got a book. Did you have a personal audience face to face with God this morning or this afternoon? Or this evening? Or was this another humdrum day? We just jumped in the car and went to work and said, thank you, Lord, for this burnt bagel. Swallowed it and went on your way. Have had a time to have a personal face-to-face audience. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better wake up. God's going to bring you to that place. He's not a gray-haired grandpa or a Santa Claus up there. He is God Almighty. I get so tired of this easy profession. Get saved, never see them again. If I started another church, These are the questions I'd ask people. I wrote them down, so let me read them to you. Somebody wanted to come and join our church, new convert. I'd say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The guy would say, yeah. Do you believe that he died for your sins? Yep, that's a question I ask him. Do you rose again? Do you believe that he rose again to give you eternal life? Yep. Did you ask him to come into your heart and save you? And the guy would say, yep, it's a new convert. I said, before you join this church, I'd like to ask you one more question. How long are you going to stick around? How long are you going to stick around? There's no reality of God. There's no more awe of God. There's no awe of God among his own people. There is no awesomeness of God. The almightiness of God. The glory of God. The strength of God. The omniscience of God. The omnipresence of God. The omnipotence of God. There is no more awe among God's people, or we wouldn't live like we're living. Job had an excuse. He didn't have a book. But the Bible said he was patient. Now here's something. Here's something. There's this, that a record be kept of my devotions. Ben. He didn't live in America where we love evil. He eschewed evil. He said, well, your problem is you're old. Hey, listen, honey, let me see here. Too many amens on that either. This is one of these messages where I don't expect to hear too many. I got a book that tells me he does. I want to say this to you. I know one thing. There's going to be more written in that book. You got a book. Folks, listen to me. I'm telling you something. When you come to the judgment seat of 48 years, there's never been a sin written down. Marked down. God takes care of his children. He keeps a perfect record. We don't have to. Yeah, turn me around. No, don't worry about it. Yeah, turn me to Revelation 20. Pretty singing tonight. I really was, honey. I appreciate you. I really do. I beat me 2:12. And behold, I come quickly. His work shall be. Find out that you were right. It didn't apply to us. I haven't lost anything. You haven't either. But suppose desired. He says, if I just wish God had that. God did have it, but Job didn't have a book. Rinky-dinking around. It's what it says. You just took salvation and you just went to church and you gave a tithe. And now, some people can't wait to retire. Leave for Pensacola and I'm going to preach for 5 days there, 4 or 5 days there, 6 or 7 sermons. And we're with him for 4 or 5 days and then I'm home 9 days. And then I'm heading for Australia. Oh, man. God, I'm satisfied. I do pray for certain things. I'm just saying, God, take me home when I can't read the book. He told me in Job chapter 6. What are you looking at? He says, how are you? God, I like my God. My God. Oh, my God, I king forever. Of his saving grace on the streets of tired of stupidity of God's people. I just want to be someplace, one place. See, I've only got 8 more pages to 6. Verse 8, he says, all that I might have my request and that God was of the Holy One. He desired that he would be free from his body. It's like going to a dentist and you're going to drill a tooth. That's all Job was looking for. He didn't know. The charismatic philosophy and get saved and get rich. I'm going to have to quit. How are you going to stand up to God with him in that day at the judgment seat of Christ? Eyes of flame like fire, Revelation chapter 1, will come along and hit that baby. There's more to heaven theology than most people believe. I'll try to get into some of that soon. And Bathsheba, you remember she came to David with Nathan and she said to him, hey, get my mule, put Solomon on it and declare him king. That's found over there in 1 Kings. Everybody else had swift horses. And ride that mule and the Lord won the battle. Study for yourself. That's an old book. What a book. Wish I could go back to when I was 25 and said. You can't ride a mule gracefully. Drunken driver in a Mercedes and sail 121 miles an hour into a fence post. What's he doing? Oh, he's living on Social Security. Well, yeah, but he's got a retirement. No, he don't have a retirement. Don't have, I haven't smiled since you've been here. That crap tag will just excite you, don't it? All right? Listen to me. You know what happens? Nobody ever had. And the mule is gone, and I'm going to ride down that thing. I don't know what color that is, but I took a look in that book. The more I think about this Job getting caught in a conflict between God and the devil, it's amazing to me. Old dull stuff like that. Mom and dad raised, both their husbands and wives are saved. They have five grandchildren. All five of them are saved. We used to sit and read. Then we time to go to bed. I mean, it was in those days that we didn't have any problem with the English language. When mom and dad train's coming, and you know what I do? I snuck to the last page of that book. Next night, come along. I start reading that book here, and she said, lights out. And I put that lights out. God's people don't know right from wrong anymore. Laodicean Christ, I read the last page of this old book. It's all going to turn out all right. He's coming. Would you go to heaven? Say, well, I'm not sure, preacher. So I took a look in this old book and says you can know that you have. If I died, I don't know whether I'd go to heaven or not. But I'd like to know. Said, I'm not sure. There's a bunch of people in here who love you. If you slip your hand up and say, I need prayer, I wish you'd pray for me. I'll pray for you. Nobody else looking. Here's this book that tells you how. I wish you'd pray for me. I want to be saved. God stirs your heart right now. I want to be saved. Come on, put it up. 2. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Anybody else? 2 hands, 2 beautiful people. Raise their hands. Anybody? Preaching and all the storytelling and all the humor, if there was any. This is your part of the service. Of course, all of it's your somebody who can tell them of Christ. Jesus has done for them. May he not be embarrassed tonight. Good crowd here tonight. If they leave here tonight, may they realize that they're a special people. We'll be careful to give thee all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Oh.